Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of St. John, the gospel text, which has already been read. Next time you're driving through the Flint Hills of Kansas, notice that they build their fence posts out of limestone. You used to build your fence posts when you used to build fences. In Ireland, the fences are all built from stone, one stone laid on top of the other. Probably around here, you used wood to build your fences, fence posts. You kind of use what you have to work with when it comes to fence posts and things like that, houses. Last week, we listened in as Jesus talked about this road trip cold life. He was talking to Christians. He was addressing them as Christians. He was acting like they were Christians, and I, for one, found that to be kind of refreshing. There's a lot of roads out there, you know. And Thomas asked him which one, and he famously said, "I am the way, the road, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That's the road. I am the road that takes you where you want to go. He is the road that takes you to the place where the Father dwells. He is the road to the place that takes you where you want to spend eternity. The road, the truth, and the life. Okay, we got that. Until then, what? That's what he addresses today. And last week, he also addressed that while on this journey, he says to these Christians, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. And when you do that, he who believes in me will also do the works I do. Now, what's up with that? How is it that we Christians also do the works that Jesus does? He who believes in me will do the works I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. These days we sort of look forward to the road trip. We had three children, as you know. We had a great time with our family. We took vacations and road trips, and it all took some planning. When you're traveling with infants or toddlers, you don't just pick up and go. And on the road, you have to do things they like to do. These days, we call out road trip. We can be on the road in an hour, two max. And when you take a road trip, you probably have a destination in mind. There's no cloud by day or fire by night to guard you. And you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere you want to be. But a good road trip is about more than just the destination. It's also about the journey. You see other things along the way, do other things along the way. You stop at places on your way to your destination, and our destination is that house in heaven, and that's all because of what God has done for us. That invitation to that house was won by the blood of God himself, who gave himself for our sins. That invitation was sealed at your baptism, where you were first called his child, a member of the family. So of course, you're going to be welcomed into your special room in that house in the sky, and we have a foretaste of the feast to come here. And that's our destination. But what about the journey? He who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Because he goes to the Father, a better translation would be, since I am going to the Father. I'm not going to be here anymore. So you know, these things I've been doing, these good works, and then we have a future tense, will be done by you Christians. And they are. Actually, they are. And why do Christians do the good works like Jesus did? Well, why do you root for the Chicago Cubs? Why don't you just change? Why don't you start rooting for the Cardinals? And why do you always buy a Ford? Why don't you buy a Chevy or a Toyota? Why do you mow your grass on Friday? Why do you read or not? Why do you vote the way you vote in the election? Why do you talk and act like a Christian? Why do you do that? Well, because that's who I am. That's who you are. And all those and 100 other things, sports, politics, and the like, those whys, why I do something or say something, are answered by, that's who I am. I'm a Cubs fan, can't help it. That's why I say and do what I say and do. That's who I am. And we talk about the fruit of a tree, we talk about a seed being put in the ground and bearing fruit. Right about now, perhaps, especially for your Missouri Synod lifers, your Lutheran instincts are screaming, but I don't act like a Christian. I don't talk like a Christian. And often we don't. That's right. We are poor, miserable sinners. And God can work with that. God can work with that. Amazingly, what a great God we have. He can work with that. Moses, when God came to him in the burning bush and said, I need you to go and talk to the Pharaoh. Moses, he probably had a rhoticism. That's the word for it. He can't pronounce the sound for R. Me and Moses and Lucy Worsley, presenter for the BEC, all had the same problem with R. Pass the con. Nancy, get that boy to the speech therapist or whatever you have to do. Like fence builders, whatever you're doing, you use what you have around you. And God, like the fence builder, he works with what he has, and God can work with Moses. And he can work with Paul. Paul says of himself, he says he's the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And you remember, he sought to find Christians to put them to death because they were Christians. Last week, we saw the beginning of that exchange that would end with the martyrdom of Stephen and Saul, who would become Paul. Luke tells us that he held their coats. And that's an idiom. It means that Saul, was an authority figure. And when they wanted to know if they could go ahead and kill Stephen, Paul gave him the thumbs up. Yeah, go ahead, do it. That's Paul. Look at him now. He's in the midst of the second of three missionary journeys on that famous hill in Athens, Greece, taking on the philosophers of the day, the Epicureans. Their philosophy was to avoid pain and seek pleasure as much as possible. The Stoics, whatever happens, happens. And as is almost always the case in Acts, they listened until Paul began to speak of the resurrection. And then the technical theological term they used to describe that teaching is bird turd. But some said, I want to hear more. The Apostle Paul? Yeah, God can work with that. Of course, something happened along that road trip that was the life of Paul. It happened on the road to Damascus, where he confronted the resurrected Jesus, who made him blind. I guess you'd say he broke him down. Then he built him up, making him able to see. And Ananias baptized Paul, and Jesus took Paul out into the desert. He talks about this in Galatians and taught him the faith. And that's how God works with something like Saul. Works with what he's got. Why did Paul oppose Jesus? Persecute Christians, give the thumbs up for the murder of Stephen. And he wrote it down. Besides those three missionary journeys where he preached the gospel, besides very cleverly working out a way for him to appear before Caesar himself, and while he was waiting for that, jailed in Rome, he preached to the guards. His work lives on after him in the 13 books of the Bible known as the Pauline epistles. How many Christians have been made? How many Christians have been fed on this journey by the writings, the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul, who used to murder Christians? And why did Paul proclaim Christ? Offer support and encouragement to Christians, and himself die a martyr's death. Why? Well, Paul vigorously opposed Christianity because he believed it to be an evil thing, a distortion of his religion, the only religion he had ever known. And when Jesus met him on that road to Damascus, by means of the word, Paul was made into a different man, one who proclaimed Christianity with the same vigor he had fought against it with. And after Jesus was gone, after he had ascended into heaven, beginning at Pentecost in a couple weeks, Christians first began to make true those prophetic words of Jesus: "He who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, since I go to the Father." And beginning then, in Jerusalem, they began to proclaim the risen Christ, and then Paul, and we continue that work today, proclaiming the risen Christ, like he had told them before his ascension. They would proclaim him in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And if you want to do the geography, start here, then move the circle out, then widen the circle again, and then there's no circle. And the gospel of the resurrected Jesus, if you want to hear the word of God, there are very few places on the earth this day where that is not possible. And all that, all those years, all that work done by weak, vacillating, sinful men, and all with feet of clay. And God can work with that. Like you do when you have a problem that needs fixed to solve or whatever. I had a wagon yesterday, the little wagon we pulled behind the golf cart, and it was broken. So I fixed it with what I had there: a piece of wood, two bolts, screwdriver. I didn't even need the epoxy I thought I would, and I didn't have a spring, bungee cord. That's what God does, works with what he's got. Doing the works that I do, you are, and greater. And he's talking about quantity, sheer volume. There was only one Jesus, and he did his work in a very localized place for only 3 years. The Christians he produces all over the world, doing the works of Jesus. And we've been at it for 2,000 years doing the works of Jesus. In terms of pure quantity, the volume, Christians have done a lot of good. Also, and perhaps more to the point, is the qualitative aspect of doing works greater, more impressive than the works of Jesus. Ozzie Smith used to make some impressive plays. Colton One's making those kind of plays these days. That was impressive. What would be more impressive than those great plays? Well, I was playing shortstop on the church softball team at the time. More impressive would have been if I would have made plays like that. I wasn't, but it would have been more impressive, and that's your good works. That's why they're more impressive than the works that Jesus does. Great. We would expect that God himself coming into the world in human flesh would be able to preach and teach about God. More impressive is that mere humans, sinners like us, people like me and Moses with a rheumatism, God can work with that. More impressive. Perhaps most impressive is the average Christian on the street who proclaims Christ crucified and resurrected to his family, to her family, maybe even to others, and contrary to criticism, that you Christians are all talk and no action. That we don't practice what we preach. You only care about heaven. You should care about people here in this life like I do. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Thank you. Thank you very much. It all started with Jesus, our Lord, who fed the hungry, who healed the sick, besides giving his life for all people. And early on, right before Stephen was martyred, we read in Acts chapter 5, I think, of the so-called daily distribution. Some were complaining that the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Mostly we're talking about food, which is kind of a consumable. You need some every day. And by this time, the Roman emperors were using food to control people. It's a common thing for tyrants. And it's highly effective. Levy a tax, take the food. Oh, you want to eat? Do this, don't do that, and you can eat. But it wasn't like that for the Christians in the daily distribution. And you know the important distinction. When the government levies a tax, paying that tax is not optional. You have to pay that tax. Christians in the book of Acts held the material possessions to be nothing. The English translations all say common. They held their possessions to be nothing, patui. And freely, of their own volition, without coercion, they gave some of theirs to others. Some of them sold land, not because they had to, but because they wanted to, because they wanted to. And what sets Christian good works apart from the rest of them? We don't have to, but we do. And we always have. And why is that? And the Christian West invented the scientific method, the university, universal education, international law, equity for women, the hospital, high regard for life, and the rest, and what Max Weber, the German 19th century German, called the Protestant work ethic to boot. Jesus did not invent those things that make the world a better place. But Jesus did make the people who invented those things and more. Those people who think of themselves as poor, miserable sinners, because we are. And God can work with that. God can work with that. And if it sounds like I'm saying that we're better than Jesus, I'm not. I'm just noting that when Jesus predicted, quote, "He who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do." When Jesus said that, he kind of nailed it. Kind of nailed it, didn't he? And healing people and using the brains he gave us to invent and develop modern medical medicine and also miraculous healings, I've seen them. So that's what we do and what we say on the road trip to life. Which brings us to today's text, where he once more admonishes the Christians. It's in the imperative mode, a command. Guard the word. Think about some things that you throw away. What do you throw away? And think of some things that you keep in your house. And if somebody broke in, might consider those things worthy to steal. You might have a safe deposit box at the bank. And what do you put into the safe deposit bank, a box at the bank? The word belongs in that category of things you would put in the safe deposit box. If you don't know what that is, it's at the bank. It's an actual box. To get to it, you have to break into the bank. Then you have to break into the vault where the boxes are kept. And a plethora of TV shows and movies have taught us that the box itself can be hard to open. That's how Jesus commands us to regard the word, the Bible, and the teachings of it. And he says that often. So I guess I say it often. And he says it here because without the word, the Christian has kind of a hard time knowing what it means to speak and to act like a Christian. That word gives us guidance in how to live our Christian lives, doing those good works. You pull out that foundation and the whole thing tumbles and falls. In this road trip of life, we do not take this road trip alone. We take it with others. It's a pilgrimage. With our fellow members here, take away my Sunday morning with you people. I appreciate more my Sunday mornings with you people. And yes, I did say I miss you. And the writer of the Hebrews, when he says, do not forsake the assembly together, as some have done, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, and with other Christians, not perhaps of this particular flock, we journey together. And more to the point, and more importantly, God is with us every step of the way on this road trip of life. I will pray the Father send you another counselor to be with you, even the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in, by which he comes to us in word and sacrament. The unforgivable sin against the Holy Spirit is the one where you boot out the word. And if you want the Spirit of Truth to guide you, then guard the thing that brings it. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. And the picture here is not of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. The Holy Spirit does dwell inside of you, but the picture here is Jesus walking with you, by your side, every step of the way on that road trip that is life, and it has a destination. And while on that destination, we can stop here or not. We can do this or not. Act and talk like Christians, and often we do, and often we fail, and often we are weak, and often we aren't sure exactly what to say or to do. Do you have shortcomings? Shortcomings, yeah. God can work with that. I know that I have shortcomings. God can work with that, like God has always worked with that. It's what God always works with. People like you and me. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.